Hi everybody, welcome to the Mental Toughness and Body Show. My name is Rob Evans and I'm your transformation coach and health strategist. And on this show, we talk about a lot of things to do with your mindset and obviously other aspects of your health and wellness as well, from the way that you exercise, the food that we eat. But what I think is something that really excites me is what goes on in our headspace, because that really controls the success that we're going to have and what we're not going to have, what you think you can do and you can't do. Well, you're right about both of those things. And so today I thought emotional intelligence is really important. So I thought if we could just dig into that a little bit, I'll give you some practical tips around how we can perform better in that space, and you'll find that you'll get way better outcomes. So the first thing that I want to talk about is about understanding and I guess managing your emotions. I mean, we just live our life the way that we live it, and unless you make conscious efforts around certain thoughts and so forth, then you just continue to navigate life in the same way. And I know when I was much younger, if you've been listening to me for a while, you'll know that some of the challenges that I had as a child and just the negative self-talk that I had. And honestly, it's gone on for decades and decades for me in identifying how do I get the best out of myself. And I think a lot of that is understanding who you are and why you think the way that you think, etc. And
I've
always been different. I felt that I've been different to most people, thinking differently, just being different. Like, I'm a shorter man than most people. The things that I like seem to be different to most people. I'm not that blokey bloke that loves to talk about the footy and loves small talk and that kind of stuff. Likes to drink and go out with the boys and that kind of stuff. I've never enjoyed that and I've never really understood it. And I've made it wrong about myself for a long time. And it's only when I've started to understand who I am and the fact that just because you're different doesn't make it wrong. It just makes it different and okay. And that's why we have so many different amazing people in the world because of that. So part of that, the reason I tell you that is because part of the process for me in navigating to become that better person and better at understanding is reflecting. And so one of the things that I would do is I would reflect daily, and whether that, like, early on I was writing, I guess we say journaling now, but I would refer to it as a diary in the old days, and I would just diarize what was going on for me. If I go back and read it now, it's very uninteresting, but it was a way for me to get things down on paper as to what it was that that I was doing, or what I tend to do more of now. I suppose journaling in some ways is me recording these podcasts each day. I record two a day, and even though I'm not talking about the deep, dark things that are going on for me, I talk about the challenges and perhaps putting a twist on what it is that I'm going through, so that I'm still a very, very private person, so I don't reveal every single thing as well as much as I am a public person and put so much content out there. There are still many things that I don't talk to people about because it's just not, it's not appropriate and it's private, and you've got to have some of those things private. But some of the things that I do now as well are the, I guess people call it mindfulness. For me, it's just taking time out at maybe a point in the day, maybe it's at the end of the day, and maybe it's through the day, where I just perhaps stop. And I don't necessarily physically stop, because I could be out walking, and I'm just I'm thinking about what it is that's going on for me in the moment. I'm thinking about how do I become better? What's gone on for me today? I'm doing a bit of an assessment as to what I achieved for the day. What could I have done better? What can I be doing tomorrow? What are the things that I'm going to set down as my priorities for tomorrow? but also taking some time out to think about my two girls and, you know, what's important to me, what are those perhaps next steps for me in life, and those types of thoughts, and perhaps also just a bit of a, maybe what I call it, a value and belief type audit. Like, am I living my best life? Am I doing the right thing for humanity? Did I say the wrong thing today? Did I, you know, am I just living up to the standards that I set for myself? So I think that's something that's been really important for me. Another one has been, but I think for me, I was very introverted as a child. So for me to have conversations with people as a child and as a teen and so forth, it wasn't a strength of mine. I didn't really know how to have conversations with people. I didn't really have, many friends and people that I would connect with. So I found that very, very difficult. So as I've gotten older and as I've gotten more communication skills, one of the things that I'm very aware of is active listening. So making sure that I'm fully present for the person that I'm talking to. And it doesn't matter where it is that I am, if it's, if it's a one-on-one chat, if it's like in private kind of thing, or if it's something like you're at a networking event and there's a lot of noise around you and it's easy to be distracted, but my eyes are still focused on the person so that I can listen and actively ask questions. One of the reasons that I started doing so many podcasts was so that I would force myself to listen when I'm interviewing somebody without having pre-prepared questions, so that I could practice my skills at thinking about how I can ask questions. So actively listening to what they're saying so I can then come up with a question. So putting myself under pressure by not having a prepared question so that I force myself to listen, not be distracted and be completely present for that person. Another thing for me is, as a child, I did live in a very judgmental household. A lot of judgment about others, and I didn't like how that was creeping into me. And even to this day, I still have to be very conscious of making sure that I don't fall back to a default of judgment. And I think that's really important. So the way that I approach things now, it's just kind of reshuffling your thinking process. So I'm interested in other people's perspectives. I stay curious without the judgment to just try and understand why people do the things that they do, understand why people, say, follow certain religions, or why people follow a certain type of like daily practice, or things that are just, you know, very, very different. For me, because the world is filled with a lot of different people and different experiences, and I just really would like to understand what makes people choose one path versus another. So I think that is really important. I mean, we're living in a time right now where we have so much conversation in the LGBTQ plus movement. And I think it's just really important to, they're talking about what, there's over 100 different identities and so forth. I mean, I don't have anyone in my client on my client list at the moment that is fitting within that definition, I suppose, of somebody that would identify themselves as something that is very different to what we would traditionally identify people as. For me, again, it's not about judgment. It's about understanding, even though you may not agree with it or whatever. But I mean, for me, I remove all of that, and we're also human. So let's understand the human experience. And again, for me, it's just about that curiosity in understanding why people do what it is that they do, and why that suits them and their lifestyle. I mean, it's like tattoos, for instance. I mean, when I was a kid, the only people that I knew that had tattoos were bikies And those that had been in the Navy or jail, and they were the only people that I knew of that had tattoos. And look now, like it's a fashion symbol for people. And I don't have any. I personally don't really get it, but by the same token, I understand that it's important for people to do these things for themselves. So I always ask my clients, I say, "Oh, what does what does that one represent on you? Why do you have that? What does it mean for you, et cetera, et cetera?" So again, it's just about understanding a different perspective. One of the things, I'm sure I picked this one up through the years of work I did with Tony Robbins a number of years ago, which is about grace, appreciation. So being grateful for all the things that there are in your life. It's very easy to go through life each day and be frustrated, be angry, be wound up, to be blaming other people, to be being a victim and all that kind of stuff. But I did start to find that my world changed when, if you think about what can you be grateful for in this moment right now, and you say, well, nothing. You're just not thinking hard enough, because there's many things that you can be grateful for. For instance, like I'm walking around here today, I'm grateful for the fact that I have the mind that I do, the hunger for continuing to add value to people's lives. I'm grateful for every organ that I have in my body. I haven't had to pay for it. I didn't have to create them. I didn't have to invent them, anything like that. I was gifted with them, and they enable me to do what I do each day. And you could say, well, you could be very ungrateful for other things about yourself, and you wished for different outcomes. But as soon as you start to realize that you can be really grateful for what it is that you do have in your life, then your thinking just starts to change. Another thing that I would say is that I'm very left brain. And one of the things that has always come naturally to me is to pause before I think. Sorry, that doesn't sound right. Pause before I speak. And so I would always I'd think about something, slightly process it, pause before just, blurting out something that was going to be, sound silly. Now, if I reflect back in my life, there have been some silly things that I've said, absolutely. But through those experiences, I've learned that it's like, when you say, perhaps you say something, I haven't done it for a long, long time now, but when you've said something, you think, oh, geez, why did I say that? And if you could rewind and say, yeah, no, I wouldn't have said that. So I think that's something that I've practiced. And also before just reacting. So that could be just in your headspace. You're not saying anything, but you're overreacting in your head as well. So just, thinking about it from a different perspective and say, well, let's just say that somebody is behaving irrationally or whatever. And I'm very empathetic before when I see these things now out in public. And if somebody is reacting in a way that is not usual, then the first thing I think about is, well, initially, am I safe? Are the people around them safe? Because, there could be violence or whatever. Then I think about, what's going on for that person? Because we all go through stuff, but we're not all able to react rationally. So obviously there's something really disturbing going on for that person right now. And is there a role that you can play in helping that person to get a better outcome? And what can you learn from it so that you don't then go through the same thing? And a part of it is to do with stress, right? So everybody relates to stress differently. Let's say you're under a lot of pressure, you've had some disturbing news, you've lost your job, your financial pressure, a relationship breakdown, you've lost the job, really, really under a lot of stress from those perspectives and some bad news about your health, then we all will naturally react a little bit differently. So for me, it's about coming up with some techniques that work to help you manage that stress. For me personally, it is making sure that I do the things on a regular basis and daily basis, some of these things. I think a really important one for stress management is sleep. You know, if you start to find that you're getting less and less sleep each night and call consistently less sleep, then or undersleeping, you will find that you become more stressed. You know, you can't think as rationally. You're just tired. You can't think properly. And that can be particularly damaging to you in terms of having that logic brain, if you like, to manage that stress a little bit better. There are things like my exercise really help me. If I find that I'm particularly stressed and need to do something different, I will go for a walk and or go sit in nature or do something like that. Go and look at the ocean, sit in the car and look at the ocean or something where there's just some nature, peace, tranquility, so that I can allow my mind to let the stress out. It's almost like removing the cork out of the top of your head and the steam is just coming out. Sometimes when it's in the very moment, I remember the time that I was interviewing Brooke Shields back in 2018, and some people had written the questions down that they were going to ask, and I said, I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm just going to remember the questions I want to ask, and we'll just go from there. And I had a foot on the stage, a hand on the handrail to about to step on the stage, and somebody was walking across to hand me the microphone and, you know, however long the stage is. And in that moment, I forgot everything. It's like I just forgot everything. It's like I became really stressed, and it's like I forgot, and I'm like, what's going on? And then I thought, hang on a second, no. I closed my eyes for a moment. I took a big breath in through my nose, breathed out and said, you know all of this. You know it. Now's your time. Switch on. Open my eyes. Breathed out. Boom. Got the microphone and the rest is history. I had no problems whatsoever. But I do find that breathing really helps me. So, you can make up your own numbers, but something like, I normally do it with my eyes closed. Breathe in for, say, 4 or 5. Hold for 4 or 5, as in like 1, 2, 3, like that sort of counting. Hold for the same number and then breathe out for the same number as well. And I do that in that particular instance, I said I did in one round. But normally I'll do it in about 3 rounds. You can go more if you want to. And I find that it just naturally just helps me lower the stress levels, the breathing rate, the heart rate. The next one is to do with the emotional boundaries. So for me, initially when I was becoming an adult and being invited to things and so forth, I would never say no. And so I would keep putting myself in these situations, like I said before, that perhaps they're loud. Maybe rooms filled with crowded people. It's a party type scene, lots of drinking, lots of silly behavior in my mind, because I'm the only one not drinking. Everybody, well, I'll say the only one, but you know what I mean. Most people are drinking, doing stupid stuff, and it's like, man, I so hate this. I can't relate to it. Gets to late in the night and you can have a conversation with no one because everybody's now doing stupid stuff and you're seeing, I don't know, Johnny on the spot who is normal in the office and perhaps your supervisor to now being absolutely stupid, and you just don't understand where this person's come from because you've never seen that behavior before. And then you go back the next day and the person's hungover and they're your supervisor again, and you're just like, wow, you've just lost some respect, or you're just confused and think, well, I really don't get that. I never saw that side of that person before, et cetera, et cetera. And then you find out, well, it's actually a regular thing that they do. It's like, okay, right. And then you're kind of made to feel wrong about you not being into to that. And certainly when I was a young professional, I did find that those people that continued to enjoy that type of behaviour, they progressed through the organisation quicker than I did because I didn't partake. interesting. But anyway, I just learned to set some emotional boundaries. I thought that they're just not environments that I enjoy. And I don't become better from being in them. So I'm going to start to say no to them and have the career consequences as a result of that. And yeah, I think that's true for so many things. I mean, you take family events and we can't get rid of our families and all that kind of stuff. All of mine have passed on. But you think about, you can control how much time you spend there. And like all families have things, and I think it's just the power of no in those situations to be really, really good. Your families may not necessarily get it, but you've got to do what's best for you sometime. I think some of the other things that have helped me, just quickly as I finish up here, are really being in control of my own destiny. And I'm very, very goal-driven, very results-driven. So I think when you get to that space where you're setting some realistic goals for yourself and you're constantly doing that, you're constantly striving forward and assessing what's your progress, how are you going? Yes, I am achieving what it is that I want. That makes life exciting because you're achieving things. You're not just letting life happen to you. You are setting some challenges for yourself and you are going for it and you're progressing. And if you keep doing that, golly, what that looks like over a number of not just weeks, months, but years is just really incredible. I think also making sure that you, when you have those goals and you achieve those goals, to celebrate. And everyone's going to celebrate differently. For me, it's like, yes, you did it. What's next? That's kind of how I do it. You celebrate in your way without going stupidly crazy for months and months and then saying, okay, now I'll set my next goal. The more you do the goal setting and the more you achieve, you'll find that it's a case of awesome. That feels awesome. Let's move on to that next one. And you'll do that pretty quickly. I'm very big on visualization as well. Positive visualization. So seeing yourself achieving what it is that you want to achieve in your goal, that's super important as well, because in your mind's eye, you've already done it. Like if you see yourself doing it, then your mind, you will achieve what your mind sets its eye on. So if you can actually see it. Now, some people say, oh, I'm not a visual person. I mean, come on, you can see yourself being from here to versus being in another room in the house, right? Yeah, I mean, you can see that. You say, oh, well, can you imagine lying down in bed? No, I can't see that. I'm not a visual person. Oh, come on, you're just not trying. Of course you can imagine yourself lying down in your bedroom. And so then it's just tweaking some of that to think visually about your goals as well. One of the biggest changes that I've made to myself is around my communication skills. So making sure that I learned the skills to become a better version of me so that I can add value to my clients. And it's only through having a business, I will say, where I've become a better dad, I've become a better human. For sure, because I've wanted to understand how do I add value to more people. When I first started out in adulthood, I didn't want to speak to anyone because I was like, I was nervous, I didn't have the confidence, very introverted, and I was probably the sort of person that would be like Harry Potter and stick me under the stairs and just poke the work under the door and I'll be happy. But then I realized that if I want to be a success, particularly in business, then I have to step way outside my comfort zone. And that means developing a whole bunch of different communication skills for marketing, to stand on stage, to be able to add value to my clients in one-to-one conversations, to be able to sell people so that I can make money through my business. So it was very important for me to develop those communication skills and then continue to work on them day after day after day. So that would be what I would recommend for everybody. Continue to work on your communication skills so you can become a better version of you. You're just having better quality conversations with people. And I think that makes it super, super exciting. And the last one I'll say is about continuous improvement. If you continue to learn about different areas where you want to become better in your life. And for me, the one that I always get excited about is around your mindset, because like I said at the start, that controls everything. So I'm always learning, reading, how do I just get better in that space? Is there something that I can read from this particular article, this particular story, or watching a documentary or something, how I can learn something that I can use in my life to make me better? And all of those things that I just mentioned are things that most people aren't doing on a regular basis. So I made that commitment to not be that person and be the person that does improve every single day. And then all of those things combined just gave me more confidence. And now I know, because I've been doing it for so long, that I can keep going and keep moving forward and keep pushing and keep becoming that better version. And I think that's super, super exciting. And in all of that, I would consider myself to be more emotionally intelligent and able to have a conversation with anyone on the planet and feel really good about it and know that I can add value to that person. So I think that's really exciting. So if you want to connect with me, it's a little bit longer today, but if you want to connect with me, go to mentaltoughnessandbodyshow.com. I'd love to connect with you wherever you are in the world. See you tomorrow.